Let's pray. Open our hearts, Lord, and our ears to hear and understand your word. Open our wills in order to live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is the day when, in the church's calendar, in this running up towards Christmas, we reflect on John the Baptist. So we have the story of John sending his disciples in order to check Jesus out. The problem with prophets, of course, is that you can never quite tell a genuine prophet because, by definition, a prophet does the thing that you're not really expecting. So if you think that you've seen someone who is absolutely definitely a surefire prophet, then almost certainly they're not, because prophets come along with the new thing that God is doing. So when John appeared, people weren't at all sure about him being a proper prophet. I mean, it'd been a long time since there had been one anyway. And then he was doing this stuff out in the wilderness, which was sort of prophet-like, but he didn't really fit what people were wanting. And when he decided to start calling the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, brood of Satan and children of vipers and things like that, it probably didn't go down too well either with those who were the professional prophet watchers. So John didn't really fit the model of being a prophet terribly well. But then Jesus comes along, and he clearly doesn't fit the model of being a Messiah terribly well either. So John, the non-conformist prophet, then feels he needs to send his disciples over to check out this Jesus, despite the fact that, of course, Jesus had appeared at the River Jordan and been baptized and, you know, the Holy Spirit had descended and all those things. But nevertheless, John's going, is this really the right guy? Because it just doesn't seem to be that he's doing the right sort of things. So he sends his disciples, are you the one who is to come, or are we still waiting? If you remember God's words to Isaiah, maybe it helps to realize what's going on. Isaiah hears God say, I make you hear new things, hidden things you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you've never heard of them, so you couldn't say, I already knew that. Jesus comes as the Messiah, the one who is the revelation of the fullness of God's kingdom, preaching what the people need to hear, and it's not what they expected. Because they expected to hear a Messiah who was going to, you know, sort out the problems that they thought they had, like a Roman Empire and stuff like that. And in fact, Jesus comes saying and doing other things. And he answers to John's disciples, yes, your expectation is right, but it's not what you thought it was going to be. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. All authentically Messiah-like things, but not what the people expected. Jesus comes saying, this is what it means for God's kingdom to come. It doesn't mean God descending from on high with legions of angels and sorting out the things of this world and by force of domination and power making the world into the place that everyone would like it to be. It means God coming as a servant, not to be served. It means God coming to invite people to make their choice of following him. It means God coming with invitation and in humility, and it means God coming in the end to die on a cross. That is the Messiah you've got, even if it's not the one you were expecting. So it's quite difficult to discern prophets when they turn up because they don't do the right sort of thing, and even messiahs don't do the right sort of thing. And that's probably because it's quite difficult to discern what it is that God wants to do next. And that's what I'd like to reflect on as we rethink about John the Baptist. It's something that's particularly near my heart because people often say to bishops, if only the church would give a strong lead, which normally means if only the bishops would give themselves some time in order to say much more loudly the thing that I've been saying for ages, but nobody's paying any attention. Problem, of course, is that if you do give a strong lead, then quite often you're not saying the thing that people wanted you to say already, and then they get really cross with you. And actually, it's really important not to be continually going off with the next thing you think God is doing, because it's really quite difficult to discern what the new thing is that God is doing. John was no fool. John was a prophet. He was still had to go and check it out that Jesus really was the right Messiah. If we're going to be walking in the footsteps of John the Baptist, then we need to be doing what John did, but we need to recognize also that we have to have some caution about doing it. Because if we are to be walking in those footsteps, then we need not to be just reiterating the thing that God did last time, but looking to where God is now and discerning the thing that God is doing next. And that is the real challenge. That's what the gift of prophecy is. And there's another good reason why it shouldn't be just bishops who are standing up and doing that sort of thing, though we do have a sort of bit of a public megaphone. Because in the kingdom of God, that's the calling of all God's people. I think you should be very worried by the last thing that Jesus says in our gospel reading. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The very least and last in the kingdom of heaven, in God's community, in the church, is greater than John the Baptist. And the reason for that is because we all, as God's community, have the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us. And that is one of the great transformations, of course, that happens on the day of Pentecost. The gift of the Spirit, which had been, you know, given to the occasional prophet here or there, is suddenly poured out on all people, on all those who want to receive it. But that gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us in order that we also can fulfill the calling of those given the Holy Spirit, which is to discern God's future and to proclaim it. It's not just something for those of us who happen to have particular titles in front of our names. It's something that's given to us all as part of our calling as God's people. So we all have that same responsibility to be trying to discern what God's future looks like and to become part of that. And it's very difficult to do that because most people actually get, you know, quite used to what they are doing and quite like it. And, you know, there's a great danger in, I think, every single church that there has ever been or ever will be to decide that the thing that God showed me that we should be doing or showed my ancestor that we should be doing is the one thing that we should be doing. And if nobody else wants to do it, then that's their problem, not ours. But, you know, the idea that God might want us to do something different is just completely, you know, off the scene. But that is precisely what our calling is. One of the great insights of the understanding of Christian mission over the last generation has been to move from a sort of implied idea that we decide where God wants to be next and we take him there, to recognizing that God is already there. God is already at work. And that our calling is to discern where God is at work and then go and join in. And to use the gifts that we have in God's service for where God is at work next. Realizing that God always does things we weren't expecting. That is what happens all through the New Testament. Jesus turns up as the sort of Messiah no one was expecting. Then Paul goes off and preaches to the Gentiles, which none of the Jews were expecting. We got a story in the New Testament of people doing stuff that no one expected and everyone thought was wrong. But hey, look, it seems to be where God is at work. So if you read the story of Peter at the house of Cornelius in Acts, he says, well, it's all wrong, you know, it doesn't fit. But nevertheless, God's Spirit is at work. So we have to change how we understand what God is doing in order to fit where we see God already at work. And that is our calling as the church together. Fortunately, it's not down to just any individual to do that work, but it's something we do together as Christ's body. It's always a tricky one to prepare a sermon for the Sunday after an election. But a lot easier when the election's in Advent, I have to say. Because however you may be feeling about the result of the election, our Advent theme of looking forward to God's future commands us to put the earthly politics of which our nation is a part in the context of the coming of God's kingdom, and commands us to think first about what enables that kingdom to come. That, of course, is why the early Christians were persecuted. Not because of what they believed. I mean, the Roman Empire couldn't care less what you believed, except that what they believed was that their allegiance to the emperor was secondary to their allegiance to Christ. That was the problem. Because the early Christians knew that their first allegiance, their first citizenship, was in the kingdom of heaven, and that everything else came after that. And that is our calling too, as Christ's disciples. Yes, to be, you know, to be responsible citizens of the nation of which we are part, to pray for it and serve it, but always to do so in the light of the call of God's kingdom. No earthly government is likely ever to reflect the fullness of the calling of the people of God to reflect God's goodness and love. We always will have that challenge to bring to the communities and the society of which we're part. Hopefully, most governments will have some things which we can also affirm as being things that which do reflect our Christian commitment. But we always need to be asking that question, never uncritically just to absorb any earthly political message, but to say, how do we, as God's people, seeking God's kingdom, engage in our own individual lives, in our local communities, and as responsible citizens of our society, in seeking God's future, God's good news to be present and alive in our world? We will be heading for very serious changes. We now at least know that Brexit is going to happen, whatever we think about it. There will be a huge amount of change in our society over these next few years. It's our calling to be those who discern where God is at work, who discern what God's word is for our society, who go and serve those who suffer because our society has not met their needs. It's our calling to see where God is at work, to join in with God's mission, and to go and join in. John the Baptist was in prison. He sent his disciples to say, is this what the good news is all about? And that is the message he got back. And that is still the message to us. Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. It's a picture of Jesus' ministry for the whole person, for a whole society, bringing that kingdom of God to life in that place. And that's our calling too, as those who follow in the way of Christ. Amen.